Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for SN Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fresen Show with me, Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And a shout out this morning to my daughter-in-law, Rohi, whose birthday it is today. We wish you a happy birthday and many more years of health and happiness. And it's also Shavuot this week. So we've got to get prepared for Yom Tov. We need our challahs, our grape juice, our candles, and all the necessities. And I just so wish that I could spend this and celebrate this with family. I mean, it's just such a family time, and I love sharing my cheesecake. Who am I going to share cheesecake with? I mean, I can't even take it anywhere. So I think I'll just have to halve the recipes, and I don't know. And I'm actually thinking about this with regards to cheesecakes. I don't know why American cheesecakes freeze so beautifully, and if we freeze them somehow, that mine tastes like frozen peas or frozen carrots and vegetables, or like the freezer. And I've tried everything. I've tried covering it with Glad wrap, tin foil, cardboard boxes. I've almost sealed it like in a balloon, in an impermeable waterproof material. It doesn't help. Still tastes like Brussels sprouts. But anyway, I do remember one thing that my mother used to do when she had to make a few cheesecakes, like breaking of the fast or whatever. She would make the base, bake it a little, and then she'd make the filling and then freeze it raw. And then didn't bake it, just froze it in its raw state. And then whenever she needed it, she'd take it out and bake it. And it worked. It always tasted magnificent. And I've given you the recipe over and over again. I'm sure every Shavuot I give you the recipe for her wonderful cheesecake. But tonight on the South African Jewish Report site, they're going to be having a baking demo with all sorts of different people baking for you and teaching you how to bake. So don't miss that. I'm not quite sure. I think it's 7 or 8. Log on to that site, and you'll be able to make lots of lovely things for Shavuot. And try and remember, write a long list of everything that you're going to need for Shavuot for Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Maybe you can go out shopping again on Sunday. But have everything there. Have your salad stuff ready, and so that you don't have to stress. I mean, although, unless you're a big family, of course, everything will be there. So what else is there to do during lockdown other than eat? Watch TV shows on cooking. Eat. Check what you have in the fridge or freezer or cupboard. See if you can try the recipes that they've shared on TV. And only problem with me is that I have to make everything like super small, because it's just the two of us in the house, and I can't even have the Lurie jury out to give me the thumbs up or thumbs down on any of my dishes that I've cooked because of lockdown. So nobody can really taste it, but I'm going to be sharing some very exciting things. I mean, have you ever heard of a lasagna soup? I mean, everybody's talking about it on the internet, so I got quite excited about this lasagna soup, which is very filling and quite easy to make. And, it's got cheese in it, it's got everything, and I'll be sharing a super easy almond tart that you can actually make on Yom Tov itself. Excuse me. And I will be sharing what else? A lovely Israeli cheesecake. A bar one, yes. What else will I be sharing? Oh, a lovely banana caramel tart. It's like a banoffee. They call it a banoffee tart, which is made with lovely condensed milk and custard. And oh, it's delicious. And then, of course, I'll go over to some lovely savory things. So as I was saying before I got this coughing attack, I'll also be sharing some savory things with you. And if it's just going to be two of you, then I've got some nice recipes for the two of you. Super, super easy blintzer recipes. You don't even have to make the blintzers yourself. And, of course, that vegetable lasagna soup. So I can't wait to share all that. Plus, hopefully, if I've got time, a little more.
Chalashin for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show. Try and say Essen Fressen 10 times in a row. It's difficult. Anyway, we're going to start off with a recipe that's in my new book, my latest book, the third book. And as I said, don't ask me where I got this recipe from, but after cleaning out my Wendy house, I found recipe files and books going back 35, 40 years. You know, the recipes that your moms give you when you first get married, and this is fail-proof, and oh, you'll love this. And the page for this recipe was so torn and worn, but I did manage to see a handwritten, outstanding recipe written on the top of the recipe. And what an incredible day of finding hidden treasures, I must say it. But this milk tart, just in time for Shavuot, is something that I urge you to try. So add all the ingredients to the list of the things that you're going to go out and quickly do your one-stop shopping early in the morning and have it at home. So what you will need for this no-bake milk tart is 200 to 250 grams of Mari biscuits or tea biscuits or tennis biscuits. And in fact, what's even nicer is Nutty Crust biscuits. So you can crush that up with 125 grams of butter. Don't use margarine. Use butter. It's just got such a delicious taste to it. And it does take this milk tart to a different level. So you crush the biscuits and then you add the melted butter. You mix it well and you place it into a pie dish big enough to hold about 6 cups of liquid. Okay? And you refrigerate the biscuit base until ready to use. If you want to use a little bit more butter, you can. Depends. Sometimes the biscuits absorb a lot more butter than you intended. Now for the filling, we're going to take 4 cups of milk, not the skinny milk, not the low fat, not the, we want nice, rich, full cream milk, 3 tablespoons of butter, 1 tin of condensed milk. Yeah, I think it's, they're 395 grams a tin. 1 tablespoon of custard powder heaped. 3 tablespoons of Maizena. And for those who are listening overseas, that's corn flour. The very fine corn flour. 3 eggs, lightly beaten. And then what we're going to do is we're going to heat 3 cups of milk. Now, I know I told you that you need 4 cups of milk, but we need to keep one for later. So add the butter and the condensed milk to the warmed milk and keep stirring it with a whisk. don't let it boil, okay? As it sort of starts to come to that simmer, that slight little simmer, remove it from the heat and just set it aside to cool. Then, using the, excuse me, it's allergies from all these lovely flowers that are coming out. Using the one cup that we set aside earlier, you mix that with the three lightly beaten eggs, the custard powder, and the Maizena, and you beat it well with a whisk until it's smooth, and you slowly add that to the warmed milk and condensed milk, and you mix it together, but do it very slowly because you don't want scrambled eggs. Okay, and you keep whisking all the time until everything is well combined. And then you return the mixture to the heat and continue whisking until it thickens up. Now, it's important to whisk all the time as the mixture must be very, very smooth. And you don't want any, you don't want to pick up any little bits of brown at the bottom. So keep it over a medium to low heat rather than a high heat. And keep whisking to ensure that there are no lumps. And if you find a few lumps, then just put it through a strainer or fine sieve or something. And then you finally add your vanilla essence. You stir it well. You pour it into your pie crust, which remember you put into the fridge a little earlier. And you sprinkle with a little bit of cinnamon. Now the vanilla essence, I didn't mention, sorry, I forgot to mention in the ingredients list, the vanilla essence is just 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence. And you add that to the milk when you're boiling it up. And you stick it back in the fridge. And just allow it to get beautiful and cool with its sprinkled cinnamon on top. And there you have a gorgeous milk tart. Now, this Israeli cheesecake is one of those cheesecakes that you actually can't get enough of, unfortunately. But it is quite simple to make. You can either use the biscuits, as I mentioned above, in the milk tart, which is either Mori biscuits, tennis biscuits, tea biscuits, or nutty crusts. And then you'll also need about 125 grams of butter, 150 grams of white chocolate. Now, I found that even if you put 200 grams of white chocolate in, it's fine. So if you can only get, if you get two slabs, put both of them in. Don't put 100 grams in. It's just not going to work quite as well. It's not going to set as nicely. So you want 200 grams of white chocolate broken into pieces. 200 grams of unsalted butter. If you've got salted, okay, this nishka very lucky is that. 125 grams of caster sugar, 1 large egg, 1 large egg yolk, and 250 grams of good quality cream cheese. So, I love the Philadelphia, the one that's made in Australia. It's kosher and... Or I suppose you could use the one from Woolworths, a sort of squarish one. And then you'll also need 250 grams of full-fat creme fraiche. So to prepare the biscuit base, we add the biscuits to a food processor and blitz it. Now, I don't have a milk food processor, so I just roll it with a rolling pin in a bag, and it's absolutely perfect. And when it's really very fine crumbs, I add the melted butter. That was the 125 grams of butter that I spoke about in the beginning. Okay, and I press that into a nice sort of baking dish. I would say about 20 by 27 baking dish. And you need to flatten it out so that it forms an even layer in the bottom of your Pyrex dish. You don't, it doesn't have to go up the sides. It should be just a lovely bottom base to your cheesecake. And you place it in the freezer for about 15 minutes until it sets. Meanwhile, we prepare the filling. So we put the chocolate into a glass bowl, and either we set that over a saucepan, or if you're lucky enough to have a double boiler, you can put it in your double boiler, but you can just put it in a saucepan over simmering water. But ensure that the base of the bowl doesn't touch any of that water, because it will make the chocolate hard again. So you want to either you, or you can microwave it at 30 second bursts until it's melted. And then you remove it from the bowl or the pan, whatever you've been using, and you just leave it to cool slightly. Remember that if it's over hot water, it's still going to be a little runny. So while the chocolate is melting and cooling, remember the water is also going to cool as well. You beat the softened butter, sugar, whole egg, and egg yolk together in a small stand mixer. You know, one with a paddle attachment, or you can use my milk. One is just a little, you can see we don't eat a lot of milk, is just a hand beater, I suppose you could use. And I beat it until it's fluffy. Or you can use a wooden spoon and develop some muscle at the same time. And it should take about 10 minutes, but it's just easier just to beat it up. Then you beat the cream cheese and the creme fraiche together in a bowl. Remember that that cream cheese that you're going to use is quite firm. If you're going to use the Philadelphia one or the other, the Woolworths one or the Lancewood one, they are quite firm. So I would take it out before I start. It's always a good idea to do that. And I beat the cream cheese, the creme fraiche together in a bowl. Then I stir in the melted chocolate, add the butter and the sugar mixture, and then I carefully fold all the ingredients together. And then all you do is spread the mixture over the biscuit base. And if you've got any crumbs left over, I mean, you can sprinkle them on top if you want to. Leave it in the fridge for about 3 hours. I would say overnight is better. And there you have a lovely Israeli cheesecake.
Chalashim for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and thank you for joining me. And I suppose, you know, you think to yourself, do you think a lot of people are going to listen during lockdown? Are they binge-watching their shows? Until you go out and you see people and they go, oh, I tried your X, Y, and Z and it was absolutely great or whatever. And then it makes it all worthwhile. So I'll carry on giving you some recipes. You can choose whichever you want. Now, this recipe is a gluten-free recipe. And I believe that I need to be fair to my gluten-free listeners. So this was an almond tart that I tried. And it was very easy. You can also make it on yonter because you don't need an electric beater or anything. And what you'll need is, I'm going to start with the topping first. What you need is 1 1/4 cups sugar, 1/2 cup of butter, 1 teaspoon vanilla essence, 4 tablespoons of milk. Now, if you want to make a pyrev, I used coconut milk and it was perfect. 2 cups of blanched slivered almonds. Okay, so we want to sort of toast them a little. And a pinch of salt. That's the topping. Then, the best kind of pan to use, I found, was those, I think they're about 20 centimeters round, and they're about 5 centimeters high. I'm just telling you what I used, and it's the round non-stick pans where the bottom comes out. So you actually take it out of the baking pan, and you can serve it on that. Otherwise, you can just put it into a regular baking dish, I suppose, for pies or any kind of dish that will hold this lovely almond tart. So we preheat our oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 180. And in a medium-sized bowl, we whisk together the eggs, vanilla, and sugar until it's really smooth. Okay, so if you want to, you can do this the day before your Yontif so that you get that egg and sugar super, super smooth. And then you add melted butter and salt, and you just whisk it all together to combine it. I used a wooden spoon. And then what I did was I whisked flour, which was 2 cups of almond flour, into the wet dough. And then I pressed it into my tart pan evenly with my fingers and pressed it. In fact, I wet my hands and pressed it all down. And then I baked that for about 15, 20 minutes on 180 until it got really lovely and golden on the edges. Took it out and allowed it to cool. Okay, and then meanwhile, what I did was I started working on the almond topping in a medium-sized saucepan. And I brought the sugar, the butter, the vanilla, and the coconut milk to a nice boil, and I ensured that the sugar completely dissolved because you don't want any crunchy bits in the topping. And then I added the slivered almonds and a little bit of salt, and I cooked it over quite high heat, stirring all the time for about 5 minutes until it was like a lovely pale caramel color. And then I poured this mixture on top of the crust, spread it in an even layer, increased the temperature before I put it back in the oven to about 200. Yeah, it was quite high, 200. And then I put the tart on a sheet pan because sometimes the bubbling over the almonds can occur, and then it's nothing worse than trying to get that off the bottom of your stove. And I baked that for about 15 minutes on that high heat. And it's sort of going a lovely brown sort of coloring. And then I took it out. It could take about 20 minutes, but you'll see all those lovely almonds start to turn a golden brown color. And I took it out and cooled it on a wire rack for about 5-10 minutes. And served it. But you can serve it with vanilla ice cream. You can serve it with any magnificent ice cream that you can get from Gelatissimo is a winner. So, that's another recipe for you to make. And that was for my gluten tolerance friends. My gluten intolerant friends, sorry. Now I'm going to share something really so decadent, but oh, it's so delicious. Okay, it is bar one baseless cheesecake. And these are the ingredients that you'll need. You'll need a bar one, no, but the big bar ones. Don't get, the small ones. Get a nice big one, probably about 80 grams, maybe a little bit more. And yes, the bar ones, you can use Mars bars. If you live overseas, prefer to use those. That's not a problem. You'll also need 1/4 cup of cream. You'll need 100 grams of caster sugar. You'll need 4 egg yolks, 3 eggs, 2 tablespoons of corn flour, Mazina, and 2 tubs of cream cheese. That's 250 grams cream cheese and half a cup of cream. You'll also need a little bit of a lemon zest and half a lemon, I would say. Yeah, the juice of half a lemon. You don't want it to be too sour. So what I did was I put the bar one, mixed it with half to a third of a cup of cream, sorry. Put that in the microwave. You can put it over a double boiler, but it was quite easy in the microwave. Then, in a separate bowl, I beat up the caster sugar, the 4 egg yolks, and the 4 egg yolks and 3 eggs. Right. And I beat that up together with 2 heaped tablespoons of corn flour. Okay, so we've got that sorted out. So we did the bar one, and we melted that with some cream and set that aside. Then we put the caster sugar, the 4 egg yolks, and the 3 eggs with 2 tablespoons of heaped tablespoons of corn flour into a bowl and beat them until it goes really creamy. Okay, then I took in a separate bowl the 2 tubs of cream cheese, the cream, a little bit of lemon zest, and half a the juice of half a lemon, and I whisked that all together with the egg yolks, together with the Mazina and the cream and the cream cheese, and sort of got that all in one bowl. And then what I did was I poured that into an oven-proof dish. I mean, it's good enough. It's, you know, something that will hold that and will hold you drizzling the bar one sauce right through the middle of that cream cheese and cream. And then what I did was I put it in a water bath. Okay, so I took a larger oven-proof dish, filled it with boiling water when it was in the oven, put the cake inside, covered it with a little bit of tin foil, and I baked it on 170 for about 40 minutes. Now, don't worry if it's a bit wobbly. It's meant to be. And it almost comes out like a mousse. It's absolutely delicious. But you must remove it from the oven and just allow it to cool. And I want to share another. Oh, I've got all these sweet things. We can put on another 10 kilos like we haven't already during lockdown. But I got the sweetest phone call from a friend a few weeks ago. My friend Arlene Price phones me. She says, "Shaw, have you got a recipe for a frig me? It sounds like hoffany boffany. I don't know what the hell it is. A tart that my daughter asked me to make." So I gave her a lovely easy recipe because I realized what she was talking about was banoffee. And banoffee is banana and toffee. And when she read it, she said, "Thanks so much. I'm not making this. I'll pass the recipe on to my daughter," which I hope Ilana enjoyed. So here are the ingredients for the banoffee, which I'm actually making for Yontif. We're going to some cousins up the road, so I'm going to take them something. 1 tin of caramel condensed milk. Now, that's the one that in the old days, do you remember we used to boil it for about 3 hours until we got this condensed milk, this caramel condensed milk? You don't have to do that anymore. You just get 1 tin of already caramelized, beautiful condensed milk. Then you'll need 1.5 cups of thick custard. So now I think it's Woolies is kosher, or you can use Ultramel. You'll also need a packet of tennis biscuits, half a cup of butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 3 bananas. You don't want the bananas to be too firm. They can have a little bruise here and there. 1 cup of whipping cream and a small bar of chocolate. And then all you do is you make up the crust, like I said, with all the other delicious creamy recipes. We grind up the biscuits, either in a food processor, or you can just roll it with a heavy rolling pin. You melt the butter in the microwave or in a pot, and you pour it onto the crumb mixture, and you mix it all together until you have a lovely moist mixture. And you put it into a pie dish, okay, and smooth it on top with your wet hands, and you put that in the fridge for about 15, 20 minutes so that it firms up. Okay, so what we do is we make up the whipped cream, the whipped cold cream and vanilla until stiff peaks form, and just set that aside. Now, we are going to make up the tart. So, we mix the tinned caramel, pop it into a bowl until it's really smooth. Okay, so you'll need to smoothen it out with a wooden spoon or wooden spoon, because it's quite firm. And then we cut the bananas into slices and arrange it on top. So you've got to pour the caramel, the smooth caramel, on top of the crust. Then you cut the bananas into slices and you arrange that on top of the caramel. You pour the custard on the bananas. I mean, you can get very fancy and you can make your own custard, but this does just as well. And then you spread the whipped cream, which you set aside a little earlier, on top. Don't overbeat your cream. You don't want butter. And then you grate chocolate on the whipped cream and you put it in the fridge to set for at least 3 hours, if you can manage it. So there are some wonderful, sweet and easy, wonderful things to make for Shavuot. Now, of course, I'm going to go to the savory things.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show. You know, when you've been saying the cooking corner for so many years, and I say Essen Fressen, and you're cooking with a kosher butcher's wife, we are discussing and talking and sharing wonderful Shavuot recipes. And don't forget to listen tonight to our wonderful ladies who are going to teach us some, give us some lovely recipes and show us how to make some delicious Shavuot dishes. But of course, one of the easiest, peasiest dishes of all, for Yontav, and I found that it's quite simple because you don't have to go out and make the blintzes. These are tuna blintzes with a mushroom cheese sauce. Now don't forget, get your list out, because I'm sure that this is something that you're going to want to get, and you can get it all at one shop. Now, you can get your blintzes anywhere, but I get mine from Sandringham Spa, and I'm not quite sure, and I normally get 4 in a pack, and I'm going to be, this recipe is for 4, and I don't know, maybe you can get, they'll make up 6, 12, I don't know. So you'll need for this 4-pack recipe, 4-pack cleanse recipe, 2 tins of tuna fish, 1 can of soup, mushroom soup. And please check that it's on the Beth Din list. There's a few mushroom soups that you can get, the tinned ones. You'll also need 2 cups of cheddar cheese, finely grated, 1/2 cup of milk. You may need 3/4 of a cup of milk. It depends on how thick the mushroom soup is in the tin. But the mushroom soup will liquidize once you pour it, become thinner, should I say, once you pour it over the tuna blintzes. Now, of course, I mean, for those who don't want tuna, you can put, what can you put in? Tinned artichokes. You can put in asparagus, if you can get. You can put in, I don't know, whatever fish you prefer, pilchards, whatever. It all tastes wonderful. And what you do is you drain the tuna. Now, something my mother always used to do was she used to add a teaspoon of curry per tin of tuna. Because she used to make curried tuna blintzes with a mushroom sauce. And then I place about 2 big tablespoons of tuna into each blintz. And I roll it up. What is a blintz? It's a crepe. Okay. And I roll it up as you would normally. Sides in and roll it up. And then I put the seam side down on a lightly oiled, oven-proof dish or tin foil container. But remember, you're only doing 4 blintzes, so you don't need such a big tin foil container. And then, I combine the mushroom soup, 1 cup of cheese, and the cream, or milk if you want to use that, and mix that together. And I pour it over the, you can heat it through until the cheese dissolves. But if you're going to cook it, the cheese is going to dissolve anyway in the mushroom soup. But excuse me, but if you want to, you can combine the mushroom soup, the cheese and the cream in a pot and then pour it over the blintzes. And then the other cup of cheese, you just sprinkle on top, stick it in the oven and bake it until it's lovely and crispy, golden brown on 180 for about 20 to 25 minutes. Okay, so that is our delicious tuna blintzes with a mushroom cheese sauce. So all you need for that really are your blintzes, tuna fish, mushroom sauce, mushroom soup, and cheese, cream, or milk, salt and pepper. Okay, now if it's just the two of you and you really want to try something special, you've got to try this. You get 1 kilo of Norwegian salmon. Or the size, you can get 2 pieces the size that you and your husband will eat. Or you think is big enough for the two of you. If you have children, then you can get more. But it's a special treat meal. And we make a mustard aioli sauce. Now, what is an aioli sauce? It's basically a garlic and mayonnaise. But this is a simple way of making it. And this is my daughter's recipe, and she served it yesterday, and it was absolutely superb. And you can serve it with cold meats as well. You can make beautiful that bread recipe that I gave you last week. You can slice that bread up really thin, toast it. It's lovely and crunchy. Put this aioli sauce on and put on cold meats. Also delicious. So here's the mustard aioli sauce recipe. 1 teaspoon of hot English mustard. That's the ready prepared one. Hot English mustard, ready prepared. 4 tablespoons of mayonnaise. 3 teaspoons of lemon juice. 3 tablespoons of Italian salad dressing. 1 teaspoon of dried dill. 1 tablespoon of yellow mustard seeds. You can get those at Woolworths, the seeds. 2 tablespoons of brown sugar. And now salt and pepper, be careful, put that on at the end because you don't know, you know, taste it and see if it needs salt and pepper. It may need a little. Now, this is a cold sauce. So it's better to serve to cook your Norwegian salmon just with a little bit of salt and crushed black pepper or a little bit of fish spice and fry it on the skin side down, a little bit of olive oil. You can put the lid on so that it really gets, it cooks quicker all the way through, and then you don't have to turn it over because it's cooked all the way through because it has its lid on. And as I was saying, so you can serve it cold. So then straight after that, you leave it to get cold. And maybe you could have it for lunch, in a lunchtime meal. However, if you want it as a warm dinner on these lovely cold nights, then what you have to do is to that aioli sauce that you've made up, you add 1 heaped tablespoon of Maizena, corn flour, and dissolve it in 1 cup of cream. Mix it together. Mix it with the aioli sauce until it starts bubbling up and gets really lovely and hot. And you serve it with mashed potato or rice with some lovely peppers in it, or even a baked potato and some peas. And there you have a lovely fishy meal. Don't forget, it's Yontov. It's Friday night. So you also got to have a lovely meaty roast. Okay, if I've got time, I'm going to give you a lovely meaty roast recipe. But I have to share something that's very popular at the moment, and that is called vegetable lasagna soup. So after the break, I come back with vegetable lasagna soup.
Chalashing for chalash? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and thank you for joining me on this, it's a little cold day. So this is lovely weather, and I believe we are really going to have a cold spell over Shavuot. So this vegetable lasagna soup is going to be a hot favorite for us. So I've been helping my daughter with the baby. It was 4 weeks yesterday. And in their garden, they had the most unbelievable vegetables growing. Cauliflower, broccoli, rosemary, mint, butternut, rocket, lemons. And everything's so beautifully placed that you actually you can't believe that it's a fresh vegetable. It's just got these beautiful cauliflowers. It's got these magnificent leaves, and interspersed amongst all their beautiful plants and their roses and everything are all these gorgeous vegetables. So what we're going to do is we are going to make a lasagna soup. Now, I know some of you are saying, please, Sharon, that's minestrone with a bit of cheese and pasta. But you know me, I have tried at least 5 different ways before I share it. So here is my version. You need to make up a mirepoix to start with. What's a mirepoix? That's chopped carrots, onions, and celery. So you'll need 3 large, finely chopped carrots, 2 finely chopped onions, 2 cups of shredded celery. So you'll probably need about 3 sticks of celery. And that's your base. Okay, that's your mirepoix. And you cook that until the onions are clear. And then you add fresh garlic and you give it a good stir. And then you add, I would say, it depends. I mean, this is something you could put, if you want to put 6 baby marrows in, you can, if you like baby marrows. Put baby marrows in, put green beans in, but remember to cut your beans about a centimeter. You don't want people trying to break the beans while they're trying to eat their soup. You want everything small and bite-sized. So cut your baby marrow in half and then chop it up. Now your cauliflower, you can use the frozen one because I know it is so difficult to check cauliflower. But broccoli, what I did was I also found it difficult to check the heads of broccoli. So I just chop all those lovely long stem, the tender stem broccoli. And I used cauliflower fresh, and I broke it up into little pieces and added that. And then what you can do is you cut into, you can cut whatever you want to add to it. You can cut sliced baby marrow, as I said, you can cut fresh green beans, you can cut cubed butternut or pumpkin. You know what your family likes and dislikes. That's half the fun of family. Everybody likes something different. And then what I did was I added 2 liters of water and I just let it all boil for about an hour and a half. Now comes the fun part. After an hour and a half, I added the chopped baby spinach, some basil, 2 tins of chopped tomatoes, and a large tin. I think it's 410 grams. Large tin of tomato puree, not tomato paste. We want puree. And I added 500 grams of pasta. Now, you know what pasta I used? It looks like thick pieces of about 2 centimeters thick. And it's got like a ripple on the end. I've forgotten the name. I've got it written down. I'll help you with the name just now. And I used that because that's also, so it's sort of not too small that it's like almost like minestrone soup. These lovely little long pieces. You can cut them in half, but they do, it looks like lasagna. And then I added the pasta. And I like to add the pasta before I add any of the cubes. Now, the cubes you can use are paro of chicken cubes or vegetable cubes or the paro of beef cubes, whatever you want. I used about 6 Telma cubes. And I dissolved them in water, in about 2 cups of boiling water. And only after the vegetables were boiled and the pasta was al dente did I add the stock. Okay, and then once you add the stock, stir it gently because you don't want to break up the pieces of pasta. And now here comes the very, very fun part. Okay, you're going to throw in some, mix together, not throw in, I would say, mix together some cream, 1/2 cup of cream, 1 cup of yellow cheese, so like a cheddar cheese. I don't know if I'd use a mozzarella, I find mozzarella a bit too stringy. Yellow cheese and 250 grams of cream cheese. And I mixed all together. You may want to add a little bit more cream to it. And then slowly I added it to the pasta lasagna. And it was lucky. That's what I can say. It was absolutely delicious. And I had it with that sour bread dough, that recipe that I gave you. I put it on Facebook. I put it on the internet. And it's such an easy, simple recipe. And you have that with this beautiful pasta soup, this cheesy pasta soup. And there you have a meal in itself. A vegetable lasagna cheesy soup. So guys, that's kept you on the go for Shavuot. And I think I'm running out of time at the moment. So I'm going to say Chag Sameach. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yontiv. And please God, I'll see you on the other side.